Good morning. Thank you all for being here this morning. I love you with the love of the Lord. And without the Lord, I wouldn't have any idea what that love is like and what that love is for. But I am so thankful for my Lord and my God. Our lesson this morning comes from John, and you know, we use this story as Doubting Thomas, called a lot of times. But for us to consider our Lord and our God, the Son of God, and what he means to us, and the daily struggle we have to continue to place him as the Lord of our lives. As Brother Brad was reading this passage again this morning, "I just don't believe," Thomas said in a nutshell. "Not today. Show me some evidence." How many of us have heard that before? "Prove it to me." Right? You ever heard that before? "Prove it to me. I just don't believe that." All kinds of proofs, you folks that are in college, you know, you're studying all kinds of stuff to prove things and understand things and gain knowledge, which is very useful. But as everybody was telling Thomas, "My Lord and my God," he's like, "Not today. I don't believe it. I don't believe it." And I think sometimes every day in our lives, we do the same thing. When we wake up in the morning and decide we're not going to pray, we're not going to ask for God's help and guidance for the day. Where's your Lord? Where's your God? When you start your day driving down the road and somebody makes you angry and you don't turn to God for help, to control and direct your heart and mind and your soul, you're just like Thomas. "I don't believe. Unless I see, unless I touch, unless I feel." And yet Jesus is just right beside Thomas, like he's just right beside us every day of our lives. We've got to reach out and say, "My Lord, my God." It's pretty simple, but folks, it's hard. Hard in our lives to say, "My Lord and my God. I owe all to you. I'm dependent upon you. I rely on you." But there's no better resource in life to rely on but Jesus. Lucas, I'm your earthly dad. Okay? Can you rely on me 100% of the time, no matter what? See, his first answer was yes. "Dad, I love you. I can rely on you." His second answer, when I say 100% of the time, like, well, bing, bang, bing, 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 all them thoughts come in his mind. Satan does the same thing with us. When Jesus says, "Can you rely on me 100% of the time? Am I your Lord and your God?" And we say, "Unless I reach in and see, unless I touch you, Jesus, unless something miraculous happens in my life." And Jesus says, "Just believe. Walk by faith. Follow me." In Acts chapter 9, it is written, immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. Then all who heard were amazed and said, "Is this not he who destroyed those who called on his name in Jerusalem and has come here for that purpose, so that he might bring them bound to the chief priests?" But Saul increased all the more with strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that this Jesus is the Christ. First off, he's an enemy, okay, of the cross. Christians are afraid of him, okay? And then he finds out and he starts believing in Jesus. Paul says, "My Lord, my God, how can I serve you?" Immediately he preached Christ in the synagogues. And they were all amazed about Jesus. They were all amazed about Paul, Saul. And the way Saul increased in strength was by he continued to believe in Jesus. Now, Paul had every right to be able to say, "You know what, I'm a well-scholared person. I really don't need the Jesus. I don't need to rely on him. I'm a Pharisee of Pharisees. I got plenty of money. I don't need Jesus for money and wealth. I don't need Jesus to guide my steps. I'm one of the most schooled people in the world." Folks, the same thing happens today. Satan tempts the world with the same way. I've got enough money, I don't have to rely on him. I have a sufficient career, I don't need to rely on him. I have a good enough understanding of what's going on, I don't have to rely on him. I remember what my mom told me, or my dad told me, or my grandpa, or my professor, or my teacher at school. Those people that have influenced me in my life have helped me direct my paths. Folks, there's nothing wrong with that. That's who we are. That's the experiences and where God's allowed us to live. But when we rely on those principles and those people's philosophies to guide our lives instead of Jesus's, we only have a half truth. We're more apt to stumble. We're more apt to rely on ourselves a little bit. Or like I mentioned and asked Lucas, "Can you rely on me 100% of the time?" No. I've been married 30 years. Can I rely on my wife 100% of the time? No. Can she rely on me 100% of the time? No. What a precious thing to have my Lord and my God 100% of the time available there to help me in my life. So Paul could have used all the philosophy of the day and been extremely philosophical. Okay? Smart. I'm going to reason with you. So if I mention the word philosophical, what does that mean to you? I know that's a big word. Phil's talking about big words this morning in class. That's a big word for me too, okay? So I wanted to look it up. I thought, okay, Paul could have used all kinds of worldly wisdom. And he threw it all out the window to say, "Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. I'm following him." He had a PhD of PhDs, and he turned around and Paul said, "I'm following Jesus. I've learned from the wisest guys that ever walked the face of the earth, while I'm alive, I'm still going to follow Jesus, my Lord and my God." Devoted to the study of the... Now, this is my Google search, okay? You know. But if you think about it, today everybody wants to reason with you and be philosophical. You know? What about Socrates? What about Buddha? What about this person? What about Marxism? Karl Marx? What, all kinds of things people think about in their lives to reason, to try and come to the knowledge of the truth. And I looked up this word. It says relating or devoted to the study of the fundamental nature of knowledge, reality, and existence. Well, you know, I don't know about you, but I want to know about how I come from, how I'm made, why I'm here. Simple. Everybody asks that question. Well, some of us want to be in reality, some of us don't, okay? Part of life. existence. Having or showing a calm attitude toward disappointments or difficulties. Now that one just struck me like, we studied about it this morning, about wisdom. We continue to try and be philosophical in our lives as we reason from God's Word. And the best way for us to do that is God's Word. Is making Jesus our Lord and our God. It fits. If every time I'm in trouble, like all my life, my parents have been passed. My dad's been passed almost 29 years, and my mom's been gone 5 or 6 years. I don't have that resource in my life. Wisdom. Somebody who loves me, who's going to give me the truth, maybe, hopefully. And then I look at explanations of what it's like. Somebody that's calm, composed, cool, collected. Calm, cool, and collected. Self-possessed. Serene, tranquil. Stoical. Did I pronounce that right? Impassive. Dispassionate. I don't know what that one is. Phlegmatic. Is that right? Unperturbed. Okay. Imperturbable. Unruffled, if that's right. Imperturbable, excuse me. Unruffled, patient, forbearing, long-suffering, resigned, rational, realistic. All explanations of somebody that's being philosophical. Does that fit Jesus? This is the world's. This is Webster's. Does that not fit Jesus? People are looking for these things in their lives, and they're looking for Jesus. My Lord, my God. And He's right there each and every day waiting for us to reach out to Him. Here I am. He says, peace be still, just like He told the disciples. We need to continue to look to Jesus. And I'm not discounting experiences and other people in our lives and other scholars. But to put the preeminence on Christ in our lives, our Lord, our Savior. And in Galatians it is written, chapter 2, but if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not. For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, died to the law that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. While we seek to be justified by Christ, let me ask this question. And this is, I struggle with it in my life. To be justified by Christ. When I do something that my wife doesn't agree with, and it doesn't have to be sin, I'm not talking about sinful stuff. Let's just say I want to do something to the house she doesn't want to do. And I'm trying to justify my decision. Okay? I'm going to use the example, okay? I want the railings off the front of the porch of our house. She wants railings on the front of the house. So last night we drove around and looked at different houses on the way home from eating dinner. I said, I like that one. Look at that, no railing. That house is good. It's got no railing. I said, look at that house with the railings. It's all cluttered. Every house we drove by, you know, I was trying to justify what I wanted. Didn't work. Okay, I don't think yet. We're going to see. But folks, in our lives, we do the same thing. We justify our actions,
our thoughts. We justify how our heart feels sometimes by ourselves in our own judgment, not through Jesus, not through our Lord and our God. And this passage is kind of mentioned in that. We're sinners. And if we start justifying ourselves and thinking it's up to us and we can decide what's right and wrong, we're sadly mistaken. We're taking for granted our Lord and our God and our Savior. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. This passage in this study this morning helps you. I've been crucified with Christ. What's that mean? I haven't been crucified with Christ. I'm not hanging on the cross. I didn't have people spit, beat me. But I'm justified by Christ. I allow His words and His will to work in my life. To crucify myself. To say no to sin. To make sure I'm justified by Him and His grace only, my Lord and my God. Not by anything I've said or done. In John chapter 5, it is written, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which He testified of His Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of His Son. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Continue. It's possible for those to be once enlightened to fall away from the grace of God. That you may know and have confidence that you have eternal life. Folks, we talked about being philosophical. You can have all worldly knowledge in the world, okay? And be very smart and kind and actually have all those attributes that were mentioned. You can really be an example of what it's like to be like Jesus. And not be following Jesus and not be covered by His grace. The goodness of man does not give us eternal life. It is only the grace of God and the blood of Jesus. It is only being able to say, my Lord and my God. I can learn a lot of good things from wise people. And I have in my life. I have learned a lot of things in my life that's helped me be successful. Okay? By people that weren't Christians, at least at that time. But to allow them to take preeminence over Christ, anything, folks, people we meet, books we read, life experiences that happen to us, emotional things that happen to us in our life, okay, to take a precedence over the wisdom of God, the Son of God. And the words of God. We shouldn't do that. Brother Brad, I thought you were going to spill the beans this morning when you pulled up this passage of Scripture. And I'm like, this is my lesson. I had to, believe it or not, you know, Bible class. Brother Phil, I did slip it this morning a little bit. But this is our last passage this morning, and the lesson is yours to think about. And to apply to your lives, my Lord and my God, 1 John 5, 20-21. And we know that the Son of God has come and given us an understanding, that we may know Him who is true. And we are in Him who is true, in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Now, if I was to ask us this morning, which idol are you following? None. None. But I say this morning, as looking at these passages and reminding us, as children following God, are we like Thomas? Not today. Unless I see a miracle, unless I stick my hands in his side, unless you speak to me directly from heaven, Jesus. And guess what God's holy word does? That's exactly what his word is doing to us. Speaking directly from heaven to us to say, I love you, follow me. We know that the Son of God has come and given us understanding. Do we act on that knowledge? Do we use wisdom and follow after Jesus? Do we make that next step and say, my Lord and my God, just like Thomas did? This morning, folks, if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, but you have not acted and became a children of God, child of God, or if you are just doing part-time percentage, I'm just going to part-time rely on you, Jesus. Only when I need you. Only when it's convenient. Or do you, like Thomas, say, my Lord, my God, I need you. I recognize who you are. I need thee, I need thee, I need thee. We offer an invitation every Sunday morning because all of us are needing him. If you have any needs that we can meet, we ask you to do so as we stand and sing a selected hymn this morning. Huh, I thought that was the last one. This is the passage you brought up, Brother Brad. You guys stay standing for a minute. You okay with that? Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Folks, when we talk about struggles and strife and trials in our life and being overcome them, the only way we're going to do that is believing in the Son of God. Being able to say, my Lord, my God. Let's sing our invitation song this morning.